This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 524 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and TotalSaddleFit.com. For tonight's show, we are going to review Reese's Big Trip to Aachen International Horse Show with the participants of the Dressage Foundation International Dream Program, followed by a great trainer tip for Tina Irwin.
This is Reese Goffler-Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi,
welcome
Phil.
Back, Reese.
Hey, thank you. Yes, I'm not going to lie. I'm dragging a little bit tonight. I got back in last night, so had a full day of work today.
You're a little sleep deprived.
A little bit. I think I had 5 cups of coffee or something ridiculous today. So, but it's fun to be here. And wow, what an experience that we were on a grand adventure. And I'm really excited. You're going to hear. We broke the girls up. We had 4 wonderful girls from the Dressage Foundation. And they'll talk to you a little bit about how they were selected for this trip. But we had Bridget Brown, Emma Severins, Ray Sachenko, and Sophia Chavanella. And they were so lovely. And then huge shout out to my co-chaperone, Bill McMullen, who really made it fun. He and I put quite a bit of work into it. We organized 27 different mini lectures for the girls, starting with Debbie McDonald, all the way to Adrian Lyle and Carl Hester and Stephen Peters. It was just a fantastic. And Catherine Bateson. So they were super supportive from the U.S. team. And we got to meet Juan Matucha Jr., who's a fan of the show. He's a great guy. The girls really like that. So we talked to half the judging panel, and it was fantastic to hear from judges and Bo Yenna, Michael Klemka. Just a fantastic group. And I really can't say enough. I also had not been to the competition. I had been to Aachen and the grounds of Aachen, but not to the horse show.
Not during the big horse show, huh?
No, we went the week before. So I kind of had a little bit of the layout before. I did it on a scouting trip for my last international trip with students. So yeah, but this was
how many rings are there like for horse competition, right?
Wow, a lot. So you go in and you, if you would turn right, you would go, it's pretty far, but then you go to the dressage, the main stadium, and then there's 3 different rings in which you can watch the warm-up. The Aachen is very unique that way because the warm-up is open to the public, which is fantastic. There is a indoor arena that is, you have to have credentials to get into it, but the riders have to come out with their last 10 minutes. So they are forced to leave the indoor and come out into the main arena where everyone's watching the warm-up. And then there's an enormous trade fair. You'll hear from Sophia. She was our shopper. Enormous trade fair. I've never seen anything like it, with phenomenal things that are on sale. A lot of the German brands will never go on sale in America, but they do go on sale at Aachen. So not saying that's the reason to go, but that was pretty cool.
How many different horse competition events are going on, right?
There's jumping, eventing. There's the foreign hand driving, which if you have never seen it in person, I had never seen foreign hand in person. At all the WEGs now we've been to, you know, it's pretty far walk, but they're fairly close. The main driving stadium, the show jumping stable arena, which is enormous, 40,000 people fit in it, and it is full. Like, it's standing room only, actually, to get in there. It's crazy. And then the driving, you can just sort of walk up, and it was like probably 3 or 4 people deep to watch the in-hand driving. It's unbelievable. If you've ever seen it, we were not able to go out to the marathon course just because we had a bunch of lectures going on at the dressage. I mean, really, you're like, there needs to be 3 of me so I can be in all these different locations.
Watch a little bit of everything. Yeah, there's
too much going on. So much going on, and it's really cool. So they have driving, dressage, 3-day, show jumping. Those are the main events. Oh, and vaulting.
I was going to ask you. Yeah, I think they have vaulting as well, right? So
we never found the vaulting stadium. I can't say we looked you can hear, we were pretty busy. Like the girls had about 5 lectures every day. And then with the competition and watching warm up, we kept them trucking along. We were all pretty tired and they were wonderful.
Making good use of that time and the dressage really education, huh?
It was pretty cool. So so I enjoyed every one of the lectures, I think, as much as the girls did. Not going to lie. It was just a great experience for Bill and I, too. So highly recommend it. I hope you enjoy our conversations with the girls. We'll get started. We broke the girls up into 2 different groups. It was going to be a little bit too hard to do a 4-person round table with Phil and I. So we broke the girls up in 2 different segments. So our first segment is you're going to meet Bridget and Emma. I hope you enjoy them. Well, I am so honored tonight to have 2 of my very, very favorite young riders on who I just spent the last week in Aachen with. We have Emma Severins and Bridget Brown on the line from, they were 2 of the girls that went on the International Dream Program from the Dressage Foundation. And Miss Bridget, we'll start with you. Can you introduce yourselves and tell us all about yourself?
Okay, yeah. So I'm 22 years old and I'm currently in Annandale, New Jersey. I'm a working student for Marcus Orlov and Shannon Stevens. I did the Young Riders classes last year in 2018 with a really fantastic horse named Rhett that kind of showed me the ropes and taught me a ton and gave me a lot of really awesome opportunities. And now I have a 4-year-old mare that I've been bringing along. And I'm hoping to do the U25 Grand Prix at some point if I'm able to find an opportunity that allows it. And yeah, so.
Fantastic. And Emma, tell us about yourselves. Yourself.
Hey, I'm 21 years old, and I ride with my parents, Yos and Laura Severance, in Noonan, Georgia. Right now I have a 17-year-old Holsteiner that I did the Young Rider classes this year. I missed the championship just by a little bit. I made it last year and I competed on the Region 3 team. And right now we're working on the I-1 stuff. And then hopefully maybe he can go on and do I-2 and maybe under 25. I'm not really sure. It just depends on how it goes with him. But yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. So Bridget, we'll let you tell us, how did you guys get selected for the Dressage Foundation International Dream Program?
So we had to do quite a few different parts of the application. We had 3 letters of recommendation, the video of us riding a test at 4th level or above, submitting our competition record, and then a list of essay questions, basically. And they were like really good, valuable questions asking why do we want to be a part of dressage and why are we in it for the long run? And how can we give back to the sport also?
I love it. And Emma, you also had some homework, didn't you, this summer before we went on the trip?
Yes, I did. I'm in nursing school right now and I had summer classes. So I had to finish up a couple of assignments at the beginning of the trip so I would have time to do my other stuff during the week.
Perfect. And you also got some questions you had to answer from the Dressage Foundation, right? So it wasn't just, I mean, you guys actually had to work till we got to the plane, didn't you? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, we had to do the journals every night and kind of describing our day and stuff like that. And then all together, we had to write an article for Dressage Connections. Yeah.
Fantastic. And you read 2 Spines a Line and had essay questions you had to do.
Oh.
Had a couple before we went even. No, it's okay. You guys, so you know, this wasn't just a free trip to Aachen for sure. I mean, you guys had to be very involved and very active as you were going.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. There was a couple essay questions that we were sent in like the last, I guess, month and a half leading up to the trip that just kind of prompted us to read the books and that we were assigned and we were sent a video that went along with one of the books as well. And they were really like good, thought-provoking about dressage theory and what it means to have a horse through and under aids. And yeah, it's really helpful.
So Bridget, I was going to ask you about like, what were you hoping to add to your education by visiting this prestigious show and going to Germany?
So I've kind of always been pretty infatuated with Europe in general because like, obviously, we do nothing but import horses from Europe. I mean, of course, there's a lot of really well-bred American horses, but unfortunately, a lot of the dressage community, I think, looks to Europe before looking at the horses here. And that seems to be just because of the long history of quality and knowing that so many top horses come from over there. And the market here just like lends itself to the fact that you're able to buy really good quality horses over there and bring them to the U.S. and then possibly sell them for more than you purchased them, or maybe adult amateurs that want to go try a lot of horses in a reasonably small area. And also, like, of course, Europe is fun. Like, there's so much to see and do, and it's a really amazing experience. So I was really hoping to just kind of see more about what the training is about, because of course Germany is at the top right now and the US is also doing extremely well, but the training is just different over there. There's something about it. I went over to Denmark like a year and a half ago for 4 weeks to get a taste of it, and I was in love. So it was really, to me, the most helpful to watch such top quality riding from morning to night and make you go, wow, that's how I need to sit when I'm hacking my horse, when I'm warming up, when I'm riding a test. What, like, literally every second of your ride, you need to be sitting properly. And it was just like super inspiring and really made me want to come home and ride like the people that I watched for the whole week.
It's true. So Emma, can you tell us a little bit about what you thought about the horse show in Aachen itself? Because it was a pretty amazing experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was so cool to see so many top riders in one area and to be able to speak with everyone and to meet with everyone and get some tips and stuff and like an inside perspective of what all goes into competing internationally. It was really, really amazing.
Yeah, just so to kind of get everybody up to speed, one of the things that myself and Bill McMullen, who was our other chaperone, who was absolutely fantastic, we got to give him a huge shout out. He and I organized little mini lectures with multiple different professionals. So you girls counted it up and it was 27 professionals. So Bridget, tell us a little bit about who we talked to and maybe some tips that you got, maybe your top tips that you got.
So do you want like a couple of like the top people that I would choose?
Yes, so we talked to 27 people.
Give us your favorite.
Yeah, give us your favorite.
Okay, I don't know if I have a favorite, but I have like maybe three favorites.
That's cool.
Carl Hester was amazing. He really, to me, showed you that like he's just like the rest of us, and he did not start at the top. He said, you know, I bought my first horse for 1,200 pounds or something like that. And I guess he went to his trainer and said, look, I can't afford a horse. Said, well, how much money do you have? He's like, 1,200 pounds. And he goes, we'll buy something for 1,200 pounds. And he's like, what will it be, like a donkey? And I thought, okay, well, he goes, you know what? I bought the horse and I made it into something better and sold it for more. And he said, you can always make a horse better than what it is. And he just talked about like the realness of being a professional and how no one gets there in a blink of an eye, basically. And then another one that I really enjoyed talking to, Adrian Lyle. She talked a little bit about behind the scenes, what it's like to compete for the U.S. team and what it's like to put together a syndicate to own a horse that can take you to compete, because like a lot of riders don't, of course, have the funds to do this. But there's a lot of really generous people that are willing to invest in riders so that they can encourage and be a part of the sport to make it better in the long run. And she talked a little bit about the logistics of that, as far as like you have to keep your people happy and how to keep a good relationship so that they're involved with the horse in the right way to make it fun for them. And then who was the other person I was going to say? Oh, Stefan Peters. He gave us a little insight on what it's like to be burnt out, basically, which is, I think, a huge issue because, of course, there's a lot of really long hours in the horse industry. There's no such thing as set hours, as all of us know. And sometimes you feel like you're just working into the ground. And I think his came from like a little bit of a different angle, but at the same time, like burnout and depression and feeling down on your riding, because there's always going to be someone better than you, no matter how good you are, where you are. And someone else is also always going to have a better horse than you. So it's up to you to keep that positive attitude and to look on the bright side of things, because no one else can change your mindset but yourself.
Yeah, and he also talked about, you know, you think, oh my gosh, this is Stephen Peters, but, you know, he had did not have a great experience, you know, a good WEG and try on. And, you know, you don't think about it, but, you know, he talked about that too, which was really quite cool. And we talked to him the morning after the story broke. Dressage News came out with this big story, and we hope to have Stefan on to talk about it. But it was really cool because it had just come out, and the support that he was receiving was pretty cool. And to hear it literally from his mouth on what was going on was pretty cool. And we haven't talked about it much, but the unique thing about Aachen is that you can watch the warm-up. So we could basically pull, you know, the top people in the world right there. Everybody's kind of standing there watching the warm up, and that's really unique. And we did hear also from Debbie McDonald that she talked about sort of what were the challenges of Aachen versus some other challenges. And also what was interesting, right? And Emma, you can talk about it, was the stewarding and the warm up. Can you tell everybody what was a little bit different about that this year?
Okay. Yeah. So they had this FEI steward little tent set up. And it was, so last year, I think they had a lot of trouble with people like seeing things that they didn't like so much, mm-hmm. and the animal rights people complaining about that. So they set up the FEI steward so that way anyone who sees something that they feel like is not so right can go up there and say something, and then the steward can pull the rider aside if he feels it's necessary or do whatever he feels like needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really interesting to hear about some of the challenges that they faced as well at the horse show, you know, and with having it be so open, because anybody can see it and anybody can buy a ticket to go into Aachen. And I forget, I want to say there are 300,000 people that that go to Aachen every year. I mean, it is an enormous competition and the stadiums are sold out. They were almost sold out for next year just leaving, which was amazing and very knowledgeable crowd. Right, Bridget, tell us about how knowledgeable the crowd was.
So the crowd at Aachen was really involved in every single ride. I mean, if you had the slightest little error, the whole crowd would just sigh or ooh or oh no. And you could see like some of the riders' faces were kind of like, oh, come on, like I knew it happened. Thank you for letting everyone know. But at the same time, as they were watching the scores come up on the leaderboard, they would like gasp in excitement for the rider, and the crowd, like you would never experience in even Wellington, which I think is arguably the most probably knowledgeable place that you can go and compete. And they just like knew, okay, yeah, that horse deserved that 10, or wow, that score should have been higher. Like you could tell what their reaction was without knowing what happened. And I mean, even sometimes we were like, did we miss something? And then we'd look at the scoreboard and go, oh, they were like happy for the score that was given for that movement. And they also are like gutsy. They even boo the judges occasionally, which is a little bit sad. And after talking to judges, like they are people too. They get nervous just like the riders. And because they have a lot of their education and knowledge invested in this, and they truly care about dressage and the sport and its progression. So for a huge crowd and stadium to boo them, I was in shock. I was like, there's no way they actually do that. They do.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think dressage is more of a part of like the culture of Germany. I mean, everyone, we talked to so many different people that just like live there, and they all knew about Gio and about how important it was to the city and to the country. And they talked about how, I wanted to say this with Carl, he said, you know, this is really a showcase of the fact that horses are a large part of the economy in Germany. And it just puts it all out there for the crowd, for people to see, and to see how, like, this is not just a hobby or a side thing for people to do. This is a part of the history of Germany.
It was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing. And Emma, tell us a little bit about just the venue itself, like the stadium, because that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the stadium was completely full, which was very strange to see at a horse event. For example, at WEG, the stadium was almost empty, which was pretty sad. Even in Wellington, sometimes it's full, but it's not full like it is on Saturday nights at the Jumpers. So that was pretty cool to see. And like just the whole, like people walking around, it's just, the public is much more involved with the horse sport than it is over here. Which that was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So, well, ladies, we are so thankful you were able to come on and tell us about the trip. If people want more information about the trip, the Dressage Foundation is a fantastic place to go. And this trip, I'm pretty sure, is offered every year. It's been offered for many years. Adrienne Lyle actually was a member of the trip in 2005. So it was pretty fun to see her, you know, really taking the experience to an amazing level. So we can't thank you girls enough for coming on the show. And we can't wait to hear how this experience continues to change your riding career.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you to the Dressage Foundation for making this trip possible. It was really an experience of a lifetime.
Well, right after this commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products, we're going to come back with our second group from the Dressage Foundation International Dream Program. We're going to talk with Raisa and Sophia. Hope you enjoy them as well.
The sun is just peeking above the tree line as you walk into the barn. You grab your horse's halter off the hook and head out to the field. The dew shimmers in the sun as you walk across the damp grass. You call his name and his head comes up as he walks toward you, looking for the apple in your pocket. You take your time grooming, enjoying the peace and quiet in the empty barn. A refreshing breeze greets you as you start down the tree-lined path. Your horse ambles along on a loose rein as you both enjoy a relaxing ride. The feeling you get on an early morning hack is why we do what we do at Kentucky Performance Products. This feeling is brought to you by Microphase. Fill the nutritional gaps in your horse's diet. Microphase vitamin and mineral supplement is a low-calorie way to provide your horse with the vitamins and minerals missing from their diet. The horse that matters to you matters to us.
Well, for our next segment on the International Dream Program, sponsored by the Dressage Foundation, we have Miss Raisa from Colorado on the program. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, you had the longest trip home for sure, didn't you? You had quite a long one.
I don't know. Bridget may have had the longer trip. I got home on time and appropriately.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you came on this trip.
I'm from Colorado. I have a 11-year-old Andalusian. He's very, very amusing, and I love him dearly, but he had an injury last year, and I knew I wouldn't be able to go for NAYC, so I decided that this would be my year if I wanted to go to Germany through the Young Rider International Dream Program.
Yeah, fantastic. And we were able to see a lot of pretty fancy PREs while we were there, didn't we?
Yeah. So the ones that we saw were Lusitanos, which are very similar, but a little different.
Yeah, and they were fantastic, weren't they? Which one was your favorite that we saw?
Oh, I am now a fangirl of Mr. Claudio Castillo-Ruz and his chestnut Lusitano. And he rode in the CDI 5-star Grand Prix, and it was just stunning to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty beautiful. So what classes did they have that we were able to see?
So we saw the small tour, and then the small tour included both a pre-St. George and intermediate one, as well as a freestyle. And then there was also the CDI 4-star Grand Prix, which was pretty much, it also included Grand Prix, Grand Prix Special, and Grand Prix Freestyle. And then we also saw the CDI 5-star, which is the one that has the teams with the U.S. team, the German team, and those were the big wigs.
Yes, it was pretty amazing, wasn't it? It was pretty amazing experience. Well, we are excited to bring our fourth member of our troop that went on the International Dream Program. Sophia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Reese. Thanks for having me.
We were so excited. So, Sophia, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you were excited to be selected to go on this trip.
Well, I just turned 19. I'm a 19-year-old rider from Maine. Yeah, I was super excited to be accepted on this trip as a young rider. I think one of the things that they looked for in the program was people that have sort of really dedicated to themselves to dressage and sort of shown volunteerism to the sport. And I think myself and all of the girls that went sort of showed that to be accepted.
Absolutely. And you guys were a fantastic group for sure. So, Sophia, you've got to tell everybody about the shopping at Aachen. I left this question just for you, my friend.
That's the reason you're on today. Yeah.
That is the reason you're on. Tell us about all the shopping you did.
Oh, my gosh. it was definitely, I can't say it was the most important thing we did all weekend, but it was certainly a highlight. It was pretty amazing how many people were there and how many vendors were there, and the special Aachen deals that you could get were just making my jaw drop every minute. It was pretty unique, I think. Very different from what we see at some of the shows in the US, that's for sure.
Yeah, like 300,000 people. The trade fair, we really can't, it was unbelievable how many people and how many booths. We did at some point had to drag Sophia out of there, didn't we, Raisa?
She was making me nauseous, just the amount of shopping that happened.
I was impressed. It was great. I loved it. It was pretty epic. It was great. So we all laughed about it for sure. It was impressive, my friend. But it's true. If you do go to Aachen, a lot of the things that we would never see on go on sale and things, they do go on sale at Aachen. So that was actually quite fun. I love it. Well, back to the serious things on what we were really doing there. So, Raisa, you know, we talked earlier with the other two girls. You know, we were able to talk, kind of have mini lectures with 27 professional riders or mm-hmm. Chef de Keeps or judges. So tell us, give us your top three and the advice that they gave the group.
Oh, wow. I think, yeah, wow is yeah. Amazing. Honestly, I think Carl Hester has to be my favorite of all the people we talked to, just because he talked about how he started as a non-horsey family, and he worked his way up as a groom and then continued up until he could afford his own horse. And then that was just mind-boggling and very inspiring to myself. And then there was also Stefan Peters. Stefan, the day before we talked to him, we had read an article on Horse Daily about how he had gotten over depression over the last year and was really struggling through it. And he was just so present and so pleased to be able to talk to us.
That was pretty cool. Those were the favorites of the last group, too. Give us some other ones that you were a favorite.
Oh, I almost think Heiko Coach. He was the bit fitter, head bit designer from Hermspringer. And it was very interesting that he brought up the point about how bits, two-piece bits, one side is longer than the other. And I had never thought about that before. And how they design these bits in order, and you have to switch those every 3 weeks in order so that the horse doesn't get used to one side being stronger than the other. And then he was also talking about when to use which bit, what with regards to when do you start them. And he recommended a loose ring snaffle. And if the horse is a little stronger, then switching them to more like an egg bite or a D-ring. And I'd always done it the opposite. You start them in an egg bite and then move them over to a loose ring. And that was surprising to me.
Yes. And shout out to Heiko because he's a big fan of our show. But it was really cool. We were able to go over and to the Herbspringer booth, and he really took a lot of time with talking about fit and also what different bits. And we happen to be doing those segments on this show as well. So I really wish I had recorded him and for a segment because he was so good. But that was pretty cool. That was an amazing experience. So we were able to bring in some tack fitting. We were able to talk about some judges. Miss Sophia, who tell us about the judges we talked to, because that was pretty awesome too. We were able to speak to multiple judges that were judging.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was pretty amazing when I realized, I think it was on Saturday, we were watching a class and I realized we had met more than half of the judges on the panel.
Yeah, that was class. Awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, I mean, it was, that's a perspective you don't really get very often. Even if you just meet people at horse shows or things like that, you don't really get to meet the judges very often. So I thought that was really cool that we got to sort of see their perspective on things. I thought it was really impressive how it seems like each judge that we talked to could recall each, test that they had seen and judged from the day before, or 2 days before, or 3 days before in the same show. And they could recall, where the horse really excelled and where the horse sort of had faults, or, they really could, I don't know, they really remembered everything, and they noticed all the little details. And, they also sort of, lots of the judges also sort of knew, what was usual for that pair, especially the pairs with Isabella's horse and some of the bigger combinations. They sort of knew what to look for and what to expect and where they sort of tend to really excel and where they tend to maybe have a couple mistakes. I thought that was really interesting. And it was also interesting, of course, to hear how they sort of relate judging to riding. And I think it was Oxford who pointed out 10 is not perfect, 10 is excellent, which I think is something that, it isn't really reiterated too often, maybe, in riding when you're looking at your swimmer test.
That was fun because the Axel Steiner took a bunch of time with us to talk, which was quite fun, to talk with him. And also, I think somebody brought it up, the judges also get nervous. They say once they get started, like riders. Yeah, that was, I thought that was kind of cute but kind of nice to see, that they are people and they were just as nervous as some of the riders were about riding and how they dealt with their nerves. And you don't think, you're thinking, absolutely, no, they're the judge, but they were under the gun because if they didn't score well, the crowd boosts them.
Especially often, we were harsh at times.
I know. It's true. And one of the cool things, they had it at the WEG as well, but they had the score board running. So you could get the average score for every movement. Mm-hmm. You could get that as the movement. It was a little bit of a delay, right? Because I had to go from the computers and magically back to the board. But it was cool because, you could see what a 10 was. You could see why there was a 7. You could see, kind of what was happening, which made it really educational as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really glad to have Bill next to me for most of the weekend so I could sort of whisper over to him, why did something get a 7 or why did something get a 9.5? He was really helpful in explaining things like that if we didn't quite understand why something scored a particular way.
Yeah. That was great. And Bill is an S judge candidate. He has his testing in the winter. So that was pretty cool to hear. I think we all really enjoyed his company and what we were doing. I love it. So Raisa, what were just some general thoughts about the experience and maybe even about the town and going to Germany? What were sort of your kind of closing thoughts?
Wow. Can I just say, wow, it was amazing. And it was absolutely incredible to be completely immersed in the German experience, from the food to the cobblestone roads with the cute little lampposts and the architecture. And everyone was so very kind and willing to help us, even though I was bumbling through and didn't know much German at the time. And I am absolutely in awe of just how wonderful everyone was.
Well, and let's be honest, you were our sweet girl, weren't you? You loved us sweets. You were so cute. You really enjoyed that experience.
I believe Bridget called me the sugar fiend.
But Raisa in the bakery was pretty epic. It was awesome. She was so excited in the bakery. One day we went down and got like cakes for after the competition, because the competition went late that night, and we ran down there in the morning, and it was so cute. Raisa had the cutest face in there. She was so excited about all the cakes. So that was pretty fun.
The cakes are mine.
It was pretty cool. And Miss Sophia, what were your kind of takeaways from the competition and from your experience in Germany?
There's so much. I don't think we have enough time to cover it all. biggest takeaways?
I know, it's a big question. It was really fun and overwhelming and all the things. I mean, even as a chaperone, it's an amazing experience. And I think we could all very much say, if you ever have the opportunity to go to CHEO in Aachen, you should. From seeing the four in hand drivers to the yelling when Ingrid Kempka won the 3-day event. I mean, we knew she won even without even looking at a board, because the entire
the
showgrounds yelled. It was so cool, and 40,000 people in the jumper ring. Like, just it really truly was an amazing experience. And there really weren't that many Americans there. You know, we probably saw max 30, if that was even many. We were definitely the largest and potentially loudest contingency. The USET and Hallie Griffin made sure we had plenty of flags, and we were happy to wave them. It was pretty fun. So,
way to represent.
We did. We were very loud. The riders knew where we were. Yeah, that was great. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming on. It was so fun to get to know you guys over the last week, and we can't wait to continue to watch your careers develop over time.
Thank you, Reese. Thanks for having me on the show. So excited to be here, and so excited that I had the opportunity to go to Aachen with the Dressage Foundation. So
yeah, absolutely.
But we'd love it. And we also had our media training. We forgot that. The girls got lots of media training. This is included in the experience. So we'd love it. And we're so glad you guys got to do it, and good luck in the future.
All right. Thanks.
Well, Phil, I got back to riding today. I'm not going to lie. I was so excited to ride in my shoulder total saddle fit stability stirrup leathers today. Made my leg a little quieter after having a week off. I'm not going to lie. Maybe eating a little bit of pretzels. Too many pretzels.
Too much bread products and cakes, and I can imagine.
Oh, it was great. I'm not going to take back or feel bad for any of those calories, but my stability stirrup leathers were really nice. They really helped my leg stay down today. Not going
to
lie.
I have to tell you, Reese, I've spent the last few weekends, at horse shows, and it's been really, really nice to talk to some of our listeners, which have come up and said, there's that voice. And I'm like, well, there's what voice? And then I'm like, then I have to refer back to the, to being on the Dressage Radio Show and talking to people who listen to the show. So that's great. Shout out to all the people who have come up to me. And I even had someone asking about the Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers. And, we chatted about it, and I gave a little demo on the leathers and talked about how great I think that they are, and just the quality of the product, and that what a great company Total Saddle Fit is. I think that's what it returns to, you know, the girths, the saddle pads, the everything they've come up with, they've provided just awesome, excellent customer service, and they have a wonderful money back guarantee. So I don't think you can go wrong by ordering any of these things, and you can find these products more and more in local tack shops, which is really exciting. So you can handle them, touch them, maybe even ride in them, in a store, which is great.
Yeah, they're really cool. So as always, feel free to reach out to Justin at Total Saddle Fit, and totalsaddlefit.com is where you find the stirrups. And we're going to come back right away with a great tip from Tina Irwin, and she is on the Pan Am team. They have made it to Lima, and their first pre-St. George is on Monday, right? The 29th of July, isn't it, Phil?
Yep, that's when competition starts, so we're all getting ready.
Fingers crossed. So we'll give a shout-out to Tina, and I hope you enjoy her tip.
This week's dressage training tip is brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, home of the shoulder relief girth at TotalSaddleFit.com.
Well, we are so excited this week for our Total Saddle Fit Tip of the Week. We have 2019 Lima, Peru Canadian team member Tina Irwin, who's on the show tonight. Tina, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are so happy to have you for our Trainer Tip of the Week, and we will get right into it. What's your tip for us?
So my tip is learning how to ride your horse straight and also use your arena correctly. Many of the students that I teach, you know, they don't go into the corners, which for me is a bit of a pet peeve, because the corner, of course, is, you know, preparing you for that next movement, setting your horse up. So I like to work a lot on, you know, executing a corner properly. So if generally horses don't like to bend in the corners, so, you know, one exercise I use is walking before the corner, actually really getting the bend in the corner, and then trotting as you come out of the corner or cantering on again. Doing that a few times so that the horse really listens to the half halt in the actual trot or canter, so that you can bend them correctly and then ride forward as you come out of the corner. And another one is, of course, is riding center lines. Riding straight onto the center line, directly on the center line, halting at X and doing a proper trot off is very difficult. So, you know, that is something I like to incorporate into my everyday riding towards the end of the ride. And usually if it goes well, then I finish off on that, just to make sure that you can start off your test with a good impression and also leave with a good impression, because there's nothing worse than entering and, you know, not being on the center line, not halting square, and, you know, walking out of the halt.
I think we can all struggle with those two things. I was just going to ask you a little bit of a technical question. Maybe you're okay with that, but I see a lot of people trying to bend in the corner, but what happens is they actually end up falling into the corner. So is there any tips that you can say that helps you to achieve bend without a loss of balance?
Well, I mean, I think you have to, first of all, make sure you're sitting over your inside seat bone. There are a lot of people that don't, especially going right, usually fall left. So sitting a little bit more over that inside seat bone, making sure you have control over the outside shoulder and the outside hind leg by, you know, having that outside leg slightly behind the girth and neck reining the shoulder a little bit, and making sure the bend comes through the inside leg, not the neck. So the bend comes through the horse's body and then a small flexion through the jowl to the inside.
That's what I thought you were going to say. No, I think people forget, like, just use the walls a little bit to hold their horses up and then end up not supporting them enough through the outside, outside leg and outside rein. And then you just get the head flinging around a little bit. And then, you know, the rider thinking that that's bend, but they've just thrown their horse completely off of balance. So,
yeah, totally. And actually, just coming to think of it, another really good tool for your everyday riding is to have, I think, somebody take a small video of you riding, because I just did this yesterday with one of my students, and she came back today and she said, I had no idea that I was, you know, doing that in the canter. You know, she was really moving around with her whole body. And I said, you've got to sit still. And I said, do you even realize what you're doing? And she said, no, not really. And then I said, okay, I'm going to take a little video. And she watched it and she said, oh my gosh, like, I had no idea. And she said, that looks horrible. So, you know, and then today she was very, very conscious of what she was doing. And so we worked on improving that. And she said, oh, no, that feels so much better. But it just really created that awareness. And as much as we all, I mean, including me, I don't like to watch videos of myself riding generally. I'm very critical. I think, oh, what am I doing? And I don't like this and I don't like that. But I have to force myself to watch and see what I'm doing so I can improve it. Even if it's just, you know, a short clip, I think it's very helpful.
Yeah. No, I'm agree. I don't like to watch myself on video. But when you do, you're like, oh, okay. You know, again, you don't try to practice that. But, you know, have someone stand there. You don't have to have any technical ability. My poor husband gets roped in a lot. I'm like, stand at sea and push play and zoom in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you can have a husband, you can have a, you know, a child help you video, and it really does make a difference. And just also going back to using the arena, because I love this. Literally, I guarantee all three of us taught lessons today, like, please turn on the center line, watch your 8 meter circles. You know, these are things that actually, you lose so many points in the arena. And it's the first thing I do when I go through a test with a student is just, what are the low hanging fruit? Well, you wrote a 10 meter circle instead of an 8 meter circle. So that's going to affect your score. You didn't ride a proper halt. You were off on the center line. You know, these things, they add
up. Reese just yells geometry.
I do. It drives me crazy. It does. It drives me crazy because I'm like, but you also have to practice that. That's what I got from your tip was, you can't just say, oh yeah, I know. Like,
It's not just going to happen on show day, right? Like,
exactly.
You can't assume that you know that you can ride a 10 meter circle without actually having done it.
Practiced every time.
Yeah. But accuracy. It's always interesting for me when you start to actually walk it through with your student, how they really sometimes do not understand the distance between the letters or to the center line. And when you actually walk it out and show them where they have to, you know, for the 8 meter circle, you know, leave the track, not before the letter, not at the letter, like slightly after the letter, and really know every point on the circle where you should be. So I think, well, the 8 meter circles, 8 meter voltas are probably like one of the hardest things to ride in the pre-St. George and I1 because they are. I mean, to keep the rhythm and the balance and the self carriage and the bend and, you know, expression. It's really quite difficult. So those do require a lot of practice, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that was what I took from the tip is just remember it's every day you do that. And then it's part of what you do. And it's not like, oh no, I'm writing a test and how do I write a 10 meter circle? You know, it's part of you're already doing it every day and, or when you're training. So, Tina, thank you so much for your tip of the week. And if our listeners want to find you online, how can they do that?
So we have a Facebook page called Stony Lake Equestrian, home of Team Irwin. I know it's a bit of a mouthful. And then a website, which is teamirwindressage.com.
Fantastic. Well, we can't wait to cheer you on in the Pan Ams and see your perfect 8 meter circles.
I hope so. Thank
no pressure.
Very much.
No pressure. Well, Phil, we really have a lot of emails and Facebook shout outs to give to people, and we have some questions in the queue. We promise we'll get to them. We've had a busy summer, so.
Yeah, we've just been run off our feet with doing interviews for Pan Ams and doing, you know, Reese has been back to Europe, back and forth all the time. So
racking up some miles for sure. But we'll get to them and we keep them coming. We love emails and questions and all the things. So we will make sure we will get to them. We promise we will get to them. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our website, dressageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com. And my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
I think the best way to find me is on Facebook, or my email is philip@horseradionetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to put on a good show. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
As always, keep your heels down and your shoulders back, and we will talk to you next week.